I'm going to be reading, having the scripture Matthew 25, verses 34 to 45, but it is going to be the Mission Barn interpretation of the scripture, which you'll understand as I'm reading it. So you can follow along on the screen, but it'll be a different version, a completely different version. Then the king said to those on his right, "Come, you who receive the good things from my father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you in the before the world began. My house was flooded in a terrible storm. You sent me a cleaning bucket and offered to help me to clean up. I was lost everything in the house fire, and I didn't even have a toothbrush and toothpaste to take care of myself with dignity, and you brought me a hygiene kit. I was homeless and needing personal hygiene supplies to keep myself clean each month, and you gave me a menstrual kit." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you flooded out of your home and give you a cleaning kit and help you? When did we see you burned out of your home and give you a hygiene kit and take care of yourself with dignity? When did we see you homeless and needing personal hygiene supplies each month and give you a menstrual kit?" The Lord will reply, "I assure you that whenever you have done one of the least of these things to my brothers or sisters who are being overlooked or ignored, you have done it for me." Then he will look to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who receive the terrible things, going into the unending fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. My house was flooded in the terrible storm, and you did not give me a cleaning bucket and work beside me to clean up. I lost everything in the house fire. You didn't even see if I needed a hand towel and washcloth and soap or anything to take care of myself with dignity. I was homeless and bleeding everywhere and needing personal hygiene supplies each month, and you didn't even see if I needed supplies." Then they'll reply, "But Lord, when did we see you flooded out of your home and not give you any cleaning supplies or help you? When did we see you burned out of your home and not even give you the basics of a hand towel and washcloth and soap to take care of yourself with dignity? When did we see you homeless and needing personal hygiene supplies and bleeding out each month and not give you any supplies?" Then the Lord will answer, "I assure you that whenever you have not done any of these for the least of my brothers or sisters who are being overlooked or ignored, you have not done it for me." The word of God for the people of God. Well, how many of you have ever been in a flood, fire, or tornado? A few people can say that. How many of you have ever been outside in the rainstorm or the snowstorm without the right gear? More of us can say that, right? But the latter, you can go inside and clean up and dry off and get taken care of a lot easier than after a flood, fire, or tornado. And has anybody ever been homeless and on the street and not having the hygiene supplies? Not many of us can say that, but I'm going to go into what each kit is and share about that. But that's just, if you think about it, it can happen to any of us. By the grace of God, there go I. It could be any of us at any given day. And, well, I bring you greetings from the Mission Barn, Butler District, Western Pennsylvania Annual Conference, the United Methodist Deaconess and Home Missioner Program, which we are lay men and women called to love, justice, and service ministries around the world, and especially here in the United States, but around the world. And the General Board of Global Ministries, who oversees the Deaconess and Home Missioner Programs, oversees the missionaries and mission sites like the Mission Barn all around the world. And last but not least, United Methodist Committee on Relief, the natural and man-made disaster relief supply network for the United Methodist Church around the world. And you ask why so many places I'm bringing you greetings is because we are a connectional United Methodist Church. your apportionments to the United Methodist Church and your pledges to United Women in Faith directly support missionaries and mission sites like myself and the Mission Barn with your givings. So thank you so much for that connectional system. And before I begin in more about what we do at the Mission Barn, we do have United Methodist magnets, great for your car, office, refrigerator, new church member, college student, family member near or far. It doesn't have a name on it. And they're great for new members as well. These are suggested $5. And our T-shirts are $15, which are... All of the money raised for the T-shirts and magnets and any money given is for the goes directly to the outreach ministries of the Mission Barn, because we have two or three private donors that pay all of the administration costs. So 100% of what you give goes back into the outreach ministries of the Mission Barn. So thank you for that. Well, the Mission Barn started 16 years ago in a former dairy barn that was doing ministry for almost 100 years by sharing milk and jobs with people in need in the Newcastle, specifically the eastern side of Newcastle community. And but then in 2000, the church that was there, close to the Mission Barn, bought the parsonage, and then within a few years bought the dairy barn, the former dairy barn, and renovated it into what could be a usable ministry space with heat in parts of the building and solid floors, like flat floors to run fork jacks and stuff like that, lift jacks and pallets and things like that. Well, in 2022, we were outgrowing our usable warm space, because the dairy barn has a lot of open air space and stuff. So we were outgrowing our usable warm space and without steps everywhere, because there was like up here, there's steps everywhere, and it's hard to run a forklift on steps. So we, but also we needed more heated space, and We got heat, hot water, and flush toilet at our new place. Three amenities that you don't always think about, but those are three amenities we are very much appreciative of. We are now in an old warehouse building that was only unoccupied for 6 weeks before we purchased it, because we were in the process of purchasing it from the owners when the company that was leasing it moved out. And so it wasn't... empty for very long, so there wasn't, you know, all the rodents and the decay of the building. And we purchased that January 26th of 23, and it is over a halfway paid for, and we knew that within a year or 5 years we were going to have to get a roof replaced. Well, that was within 1 year, and that was just over a year. That was replaced this spring. And it is now officially paid for. The new roof is paid for. God is really working at us with this building. God's gifts continue to provide, whether it's talents or material or money or just the knowledge of how to get something from somewhere. I'm a preacher's kid from Ohio, and I've lived all over the state of Ohio, and now I've lived all over the country. I've never owned my own home. So let alone owning a business or owning our own building, I've learned a lot about how to deter squirrels from jumping in the windows, how to replace lights and, or, you know, where to go for light fixtures and all different kinds of stuff. So a lot of the jobs to get into the new building were done by volunteers. And that is what is so awesome. We had to hire a few contractors to replace the heating system that was on its last leg and to get the lights up to code they were the old gymnasium lights that half of them were out. And so now we have energy efficient lights and heat in the entire building. And it is just so cool to see, and a loading dock for the semis and a ground level garage for the ramp ministry. So God gave us everything that we needed, plus an acre of ground that we can use for storage or whatever, parking and everything else. So we have successfully moved there, and the entire inside was donated paint. Outside was material, monetarily donated paint for the outside of the building. But what we do at the Mission Barn is we collect, we verify, which means we go through every single kit that comes in to make sure they are up to the UMCOR standards, which is United Methodist Committee on Relief standards. They have a recipe that we have to follow and make sure everything is exactly the same. And then we store them and ship them out to when there's a request. And I also ship them to satellites like you guys are. I have 5 satellites around the conference in different areas. So everybody, if anybody is in a disaster, within an hour, they can get a cleaning buckets delivered to their site. That's the reason we made your church here a satellite. So they, even though you're just right at an hour from the Mission Barn, but you know your district and Franklin district go much farther than an hour from the Mission Barn. So it makes it nice to have them here. And in the cleaning bucket has household cleaner, dish soap, laundry soap, air freshener and insect repellent, trash bags, construction and heavy duty, clothesline, clothespins, masks, scouring pads, sponges, scrub brush, and latex or rubber reusable kitchen gloves, and leather gloves. And they come in a 5-gallon round bucket, which is really the most useful because they use that to muck out the house, and then they use it to clean, and then they can use it for wet or dry storage or as a table, a chair, or a stool. It is really cool to see how one little item may be not that beneficial to us, but when you're in a flood, fire, tornado, or natural disaster, it is very helpful. And then we have the hygiene kits, which is a hand towel, a washcloth, bar soap, Band-Aids, fingernail clippers, and a comb. And they all go in a gallon Ziploc bag. And then they receive the toothpaste with the kit when they receive the kit. But the fluoride expires in the kit. That's the reason we don't put it in the kit when we're making the kits, because the kits could sit for a year or two or more and never expire. And so you never know. But also the toothpaste can go bad when it gets hot or cold. And so we try to wait until I'm ready to hand the kits out to an agency before we give the toothpaste with those. And those are now going to food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters, as well as homeless ministries that just deal with them right on the street, and schools as well if need be. The last kit is the menstrual hygiene kit, which are 10 pads, 10 tampons, baby wipes or, wet wipes, 2 packs of hand sanitizers, and 6 laundry sheets, which they look like dryer sheets, but they're laundry sheets put in a Ziploc bag to keep them dry, and little trash bags. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. I'm visualizing the kit in my head. And then they all go in a gallon Ziploc bag. But that is only enough supplies for one female for 1 month. And so they are also given to all the agencies that I listed. But if you think about it, ladies can't go to work or school if they don't have the supplies, if they're, messing everywhere and things like that. And so they are very much needed and appreciated in the schools to see what is needed in the area as well. And so, but you think about it, everybody knows how expensive those items are and how needed they are. So that is our newest kit that was put on by Church World Service and UMCOR. To help out people all over the country and around the world. Sometimes they get these kits, but most of the time we send the country's money the agencies in the country's money so that they can make the kits that are needed for their own community, or we send them the supplies to help make their kits, because it is cheaper and easier to send money across country lines and everything through the wiring than it is. It takes 6 weeks to send a pallet from here to anywhere around the world because of shipping and everything like that, and it's much more costly. So at the end of 2018, they stopped sending them internationally. UMCOR did, and started sending money and also the supplies that they cannot get in their countries. So that is half of the ministry. Half of the ministry is UMCOR, and half of the ministry is ramp building ministry. Similar to what you have here in the Erie Meadville district of Ramps of Hope, we all build on the same model. We vary it according to what is needed in our communities, in our team, our own individual teams. But we all started off with the exact same plans and then altered them. And we cannot compete with the numbers of Erie Meadville district because you have like 5 or 6 teams, one in each county or, you know, different areas around. Whereas we have built 325 in our 15 years. I know Erie Meadville is way more than that, but we all are doing the same ministry. There are 10 of us ramp ministries around the conference that help people in need, from children, from babies, all the way up till death. And whether it's a 6-week ramp or a 6-year or 15-year ramp. This year alone, I have 4 amputees. Two are young adults and 2 are senior adults that are getting the ramps. And they're like, oh, we won't need it after we get our leg. And it's just like, no, you may need it down the road if your leg goes, you know, that your amputee leg has problems. Or in the winter if, you know, your legs are having issues because of the cold and everything like that. So we encourage them to keep the ramps even if they're able to do the stairs, because you never know when your leg is going to go out or anything like that. Whether it's for somebody like an amputee or one of our youngest children, we had 2 3-year-olds a couple years ago. One was woke up with his brain just like froze. That's the way the doctors described it, is he could not move his arms and legs and was screaming for his parents. And he was at Akron Children's Hospital for 3 months and came home in a wheelchair, but was soon moved up to a rollator. And he was small enough that they could carry him in and out of the house. But, you know, they knew he would be growing and things like that, and it was getting harder and harder. And he didn't want to wait to be carried. And they were afraid he was going to fall down the steps or fall off the steps as he was scooting the steps. And so he got a ramp for that, and that was right after COVID. And he came home with his hands in braces and his legs in braces. Both of them still have braces at different times. But now this little boy is now running around playing softball or baseball, riding his own bike, and going to school on a regular basis. And he told his parents, I don't need that anymore, that ramp. And so it's a very short one. So we went and took it down because he's able to do the stairs and getting around. But we never know if his the injury or the illness that he has is going to come back. So we're like, that's fine. We'll take it down. And then if he needs it again, let us know and we can go back and build it for him again. And the other 3-year-old was born during those 3 months of lockdown where extra family members couldn't be in there. They could only have the minimum amount of doctors and care, medical staff in the nursing or in the birthing room with the mother. At that time, the umbilical cord was tied around her neck, and they couldn't get her. They got it, obviously off, but she lost enough oxygen during the birthing process that by 3, she was still not walking and not very verbal and not moving around as much. And they needed the ramp because she was in a wheelchair, and they were sending her to speech and occupational therapy through the Head Start program. But Head Start would not pick her up in the handicapped bus unless they got her in and out of the house, the family, which that meant grandma, because grandma was watching her during the day while mom and dad went to work. And so they, I keep hitting buttons. I don't know what I'm doing. So they got a ramp, and then the next week the Head Start bus started picking her up. We got the ramp in just before the Head Start bus started coming to pick her up. And so now she's in preschool and getting the care and the medical attention that she needs as well. And so it is just so cool to see how God works in mysterious ways to help us. And if the individual or family moves from one home to the other, we are able to reclaim the ramp if they let us know, and then do a new assessment at their new home if they need a new ramp at the new home. And so it's not like one ramp and done for the life. No, it's we help you when we're able to help you get it moved to another situation. And so God works. And we have one lady, I'm sure you've heard many ramp stories, but this one lady, she had been stuck in her house for 4 years, and except to get out to go to doctor's appointments a few times a year. She was healthy except for being in a wheelchair. And she would sit on the porch, like from where I am right now to that second railing right there. Her plant was there because it was getting the sunlight. She would throw water at the plant, hoping it would, her flowers, to hoping she could get the water to the flowers. And after we started building the ramp and she got her landing, that was the first thing she did, was come out and water her plant the correct way, like with the water and everything. But she was determined to keep that plant alive, and somehow it did. But now she can go out and sit on her porch on her own without being carried out in a stretcher. She's gone out to eat with her family. She's gone out to family and friends, gone out to doctor's appointments for much cheaper, a third of the cost of what she had to pay for before, because she can get herself out of the house and down the ramp with only one assistant possibly to help her get down the ramp, or, you know, things like that. Not two or three people to get her out of the house. So these are just different ways that the Mission Barn has been and continues to be at work through the conference, through the world, and through the United Methodist Church of many different ways. You can come and volunteer as young as first grade and above, and 2 to 20 volunteers at any given time can come and volunteer with us from 10 to 2. We are looking for volunteers Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and there are flyers out here about the magnets and t-shirts and about the volunteer hours that are needed, and you can come and do those at any time just by emailing us and coming in. The email and the information are in the newsletters that were handed out to you. And if you have any questions, you can see me briefly after church. So thank you again for coming, just letting me come share the joy of missions with and for you from the Mission Barn and the UMCOR and all of the ministries as your missionary serving here in Western Pennsylvania. Go and serve the Lord with gladness and thanksgiving.